Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Alleluia, Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Gloria. Ok? Insieme? One, two, three, four.
Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Alleluia, Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Gloria, Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Alleluia, Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Gloria.
Et in terra pax hominibus bonne voluntatis.
Laudamus te, benedicimus te, adoramus te, glorificamus te.
Gloria,
Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Alleluia, Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Alleluia, Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria, Gloria.
I invite you to sing during the Holy Mass, to sing fortly, strongly, powerful with us this Holy Mass. Okay, now Shine, Jesus, Shine. Number 15.
Lord, the light of your love, you're shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. And with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire, flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy, set forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume me, all my darkness. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness. Every changing from glory to glory, mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me,
shine on me,
shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Alleluia. Riempire questo paese con la gloria.
Filling up this country with the glory of the Lord. Today we are called to fill this day with acts of love, moments of prayer, decisions of conversions, but even just with a smile towards those who we meet during the day. These are the flowers with which Our Lady Mary makes Radio Maria more beautiful, and each soul that is converted through the radio, each act of love of each listener is so important for Radio Maria, and today is also an important day for Radio Maria. Now, I ask Father Livio to open another chapter to show from the image of Paul VI, of the Pope Paul VI, what is today's mission? What is the face of the Lord that we should see and that we should bring to the people? What is the message that we can say, Prophet, Saint Paul, Pope Paul VI? Thank you, Father Livio. Oh, good morning, my dear ones. Paul VI, the Pope, is a real saint. They're not making him saint because he was a pope, but he has a profile, a spiritual profile, an intellectual, prophetic profile that is really extraordinary. But he wasn't understood in his time. He was contrasted. And so we can say that during the 15 years of his pontificate, that he lived the last 10 years as a persecution, not so much outside the church, but in the church. Now, with the elevation of the altars, we recognize this great person who enlightens our time. Paul VI is a prophet of our times, of today, because he understood more over 50 years ago what the problem is today, the problem of faith. He set up the Year of Faith 50 years ago, and seeing the dissolution of faith going ahead within the church, he composed that famous, extraordinary document, the Credo of the People of the Lord, where he professed the faith of Peter, the day of Saint Peter of 1968. Going through all the articles and widening them in their theological consequences, because he felt that something very serious was happening, and it carried on even in the next two pontificates of St. John Paul II and Pope Benedictus, with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, tried to tried to stop this attempt at of dissolving the faith. The method is that of going through his life and looking at the story of his life and focusing on the most important elements of his magisterium and his spiritual testimony that is really correspondent to the times of today. He was born in a specific, particular area, the area of Brescia near Bergamo, where Pope John was also born, not so far, not many kilometers away in Brescia. John Baptist Montini was also born there. So it is a land of popes, not so far away. Pius X and John Paul I were also born. Christianity is very deeply rooted there. It's a social kind of Christianity, a Christianity where there are social work is being carried out within society. And so this has created the roots of the Catholic movement that is also very strong in Italy. He was born in 1987. And he was ordained as priest in 1920, but his health was not very good. He was born from a very Catholic family. His mother was a teacher. She was a spiritual woman. The father was a senator, so he had an important political position. He was very active in the reformism, so in concreteness of everything that can help society to grow. So this pope was an intellectual. He was also called the pope of laborers. So since he was a child, he wished to be a man amongst the people, but the providence had different plans for him. After a few months as a priest, he was sent to Rome to the state secretariat. So his career lasted 22 years there. But throughout that time, for 10 years of his life, he was dedicated to the university or Catholic university because he felt that intellectual charity was very important in today's world, where a non-Christian thought was growing and developing. So for many years, he worked serving Pius XI, and the young Montini supported Pius XI in the fascist resistance against fascism, which was a dictatorship, and the encyclical of Pius XI condemning fascism was inspired by young Montini. After the death of Pius XI, he became a helper of Pius XII, another great pope. Unfortunately, for the moment, we have a veto from Israel. And this has not been cleared yet, what his role was in saving the Jews in Rome. During the deportation of Jews in Rome, Pius XII organized a great salvation of the Jewish people in the convents, the monasteries, and even in the Vatican. Israel blames Pius XII for not having denounced openly this Nazism. And so for this reason, the process of beatification of Pius XII is at a standstill. But he was also a great pope. And Montini worked in the state secretary as priest. So with Pius XI, he was like a helper, whereas with Pius XII, he had everything in his hands, but he was always a priest. He never became a bishop, even though he had great capacity of administration in the church. Pope Montini knew the church very well, even from the administration and government and the clergy, the Roman clergy. He made the first reform of the Holy See and of the church in a very enlightened way. He also made it become more modern, modernized, taking off some of the traditional uses. But suddenly, we don't know why, some people say that his power was too strong and that is why he was sent as Archbishop to Milan. In any case, he became, in 1955, Archbishop of Milan, and he remained in Milan for 8 years until 1963. And here we can really see the greatness of this pope, because the first thing he did, and this is something we should keep in mind, even when we want to go and take Radio Maria on the field, he organized a mission in Milan. At the time, I was still young. But in 1966, I went to a parish church in Milan, and I saw that he created a mission that lasted 1 month, during which he preached on the topic of the Godfather. Many bishops, cardinals, and lay operators were there. He divided up the city into various areas so that each one could welcome the gospel and the annunciation of Christ. And here we could see from the beginning how his what was Paul VI's mind and his intention. We have to enunciate Christ to everyone. That is our task, to give the most precious thing we have, the most precious thing for the church, Jesus Christ, the sole savior of the world. And so with his great organizational skills, he made sure that every household in Milan received an invitation. And at the time, Milan was a city of many immigrants. Many people from the south of Italy were arriving to Milan. Almost 400,000 people from the south of Italy had migrated to Milan. What did Paul VI do? He thought that all these people should have a church. So he launched this slogan, this program, a house for Jesus for everyone, the house of Jesus for the whole population. So he organized in just a few years the building of 35 new churches. And when he was there was a pontified for becoming a pope, 89 of them were being built, including my parish church, which is a very beautiful church in San Siro area in Milan. He was also very careful of what he called intellectual charity, so the training and formation of intellectuals. So he left a great memory of his work. He was also a very good friend of Pope John. And in January 1959, Pope John launched the idea of the council. I was in Rome since 1957 until 1966. So I followed the two pontificates from the beginning of Paul John and Paul VI, and I followed the Vatican Council because I was studying at the Gregorian University. So this was a huge grace for me because I could see what is not seen but is there, the crisis of the church and of the faith, which manifested later on. And that strength that seemed like it was defeated by the council. The council followed the path of faith to tradition, and all of those strengths that didn't agree then went against the pontificate of Paul VI. Pope John called him next to him immediately, and he was the only cardinal who was close to Pope John from the beginning of the Vatican Council. Pope John wanted to make a council that would last 2 or 3 months. He had prepared all the documents. He wanted it to be like a moment of affirmation of the unity of the Church, whereas Paul VI had a wider mind. So he was also more aware of the various movements, liturgical movement, biblical movement. And so he thought that the council should widen its horizons and somehow take everything that was good that had been produced in all of the previous years. So that council, which was supposed to last 2 or 3 months, in fact lasted from 1959 to 1965, 5 years. But in fact, Pope Montini was the real driver of this council, the captain, so to speak. He took the name of Pope VI. Why did he take the name of Paul? This already explains his mentality, because Paul was the apostle of the people. His pontificate was like the annunciation of Christ to all the people of the world, just as St. Paul said, to bring Christ to all the people. And so this name, Paul VI, already contains his program. And on the 21st of June 1963, he was elected, and he immediately focused on the goals of his pontificate. First of all, to bringing to conclusion this council, which was an extraordinary event of grace. I experienced it. I participated. I was in the Gregorian University, and our professors received from the Council of Fathers the task of preparing the texts, for example. So my professor had to prepare some of these texts. So he made all of us students work so that we would look for all the biblical images of the Church as the family and body of Christ and so on. So there was great creativity, but there was also some destructive current within this Vatican Council. But we as students were seduced by these famous people. We would go to the bars instead of going to school. And then they would be speaking about many different theories. We could already see that there was this dissolution of faith. So this council was a great event of grace. And the texts are amazingly beautiful. I never tire of reading them. And you can find in the Catechism of the Catholic Church great inspiration. He said, the objective, the goal of my pontificate is to carry out and take to conclusion the council and also to bring Jesus Christ to all the people. Jesus Christ, Son of God and all sole Savior of the world. He started immediately. After centuries and centuries, he went to the Holy Land. No pope since many, many years had ever been to the Holy Land. He knew the division between Jerusalem and Israel, and it was a war zone. But this small man, because Paul VI was very small and slim, he went to the Holy Land. Why did he say he would go there? Because he wanted to go in the place where Peter had said to Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. You have words of eternal life. So this is what he did. He went there to repeat these words, the words of the Catholic faith. And there, during that trip, he made another extraordinary gesture, the hug with Athenagora. Since over 1,000 years there had been this schism, and so on the mountain of the olive trees there was this hug between the two chiefs of the church. One is the Catholic, the other is the Orthodox Church. And so they abolished the reciprocal excommunications that they had made in the year 1000. So Paul VI really made this concrete act of hugging and erased these excommunications which had been made. The first encyclical of Paul VI is called Ecclesia Sua, I remember, because the students, left-wing students, so to say, would laugh at the Pope by saying Ecclesiam Suum, it's his church. No, the church is the church of Jesus Christ. So he made this beautiful encyclical. The church is not ours, it is Jesus Christ's. We have to be faithful to Jesus Christ. This was Paul VI's idea. And I took this from him. One of the elements that I got from him is this love for the church. We are the church. Through baptism, we have entered into this supernatural communion. We are sons of God. Being a part of the church is a great grace. Being members of the church, loving the church is a duty and a joy. Serving the church is the task we all have. Defending and renewing the church and never going against or offending the church. She is our mother. Who amongst us would speak wrongly or badly about our mother? And this is the same with Radio Maria. Even when there is a scandal, we never speak badly about the church. She is our mother. We use words of respect like a son towards his mother, because you have to remember that behind human weakness there is the presence of Jesus Christ. He is the real owner of the church. Ecclesiam Suam, the church belongs to Christ. This is what Paul VI said. He was a great Marian pope. He was so Marian that when he did an apostolic journey in a sanctuary of Sardinia, one of the islands, in the Madonna of Bonaria, he said, "He who is not Marian cannot be a Christian." Let's remember this sentence. He who is not Marian cannot be a Christian. This sentence was uttered by Paul VI in November 1964. He proclaimed Mary as Mother of the Church. He proclaimed her, and as you know, Pope Francis even established a feast, a celebration for the Mary, Mother of the Church. So on the 8th of December 1965, there was the end of the council. It was like a miracle. There were some forces, I don't know how to call them, traditionalist forces saying that the Vatican Council had subverted the Christian dogma, and you know that then there was a schism of the Fabians. So there were very strong forces of progressives who were actually modernists, who think that faith is something outdated. They were trying in every way to condition the Pope, but he managed to conclude the council on the day of the Immaculate, on the 8th of December, and he made that historical speech, which I think is a prophecy for our times. At the end of the council in 1965, he said, "Now, in the world, there are two religions that are confronting each other in the world. The religion of God who becomes man, that is Christianity, and the religion of man who becomes God. New totalitarianism and modernity, when you read this word in the books, modernity, or what does it mean? Atheist outlook. It means that you consider religion to be a projection of the mind of the human psyche. and Christianity is considered just a component of universal religion. But we have to make ignorant people understand that man is God and there is no other God. This is what modernity means. It is not God that created man, but man that created God. So Paul VI said that there is a confrontation between these two religions. Nowadays, we can say that the religion of man who becomes God is stronger, because that is why the churches are empty in the Western world, because this religion is winning. 675, this number, remember it, it has been quoted by Cardinal Utrecht, Eich. He quoted this number to say the situation of our time. He had to close down 360 churches. Why did this happen? He didn't make many analyses. What happens in Utrecht has happened everywhere in Europe. People are fine, and they are not interested in God. They have a full stomach and they don't think about God. This is materialism. And so he quotes number 675 of the Catholic Church. He says that comes a time where the believers will abandon the truth, Christ, because they think they are following a religious imposture, a false religion that says that man is God and man can solve his problems alone. This is the lie, the religious lie of our times. It was an anticipation that Paul VI made on what would be happening, what is actually happening today. Today there is a silent apostasis, as John Paul II called it, and it is happening also in the church. We must remember that modernism was born outside of the church, but it then multiplied within the church already at the beginning of the last century. In 1907, Paul Pius X wrote the encyclical where he says modernism is not a heresy, but it is the sum of all heresies because it negates divine revelation. If there is no divine revelation, all religions are the same. They are the expression of the human spirit that has the awareness of being the owner of the world. So with the closure of the Vatican Council, Paul VI accomplished his program of enunciating Christ to all the people. He started something new. He did many new things. The great intercontinental journeys. Now we are used to seeing popes traveling, but the one who started was Paul VI. He would move on occasion of the great Eucharistical congresses, so he went to the Far East and Iran. I will speak about it later. He went to India. There were no Catholics there at the time. In India, there were many people following the Pope. Nobody knew why. Why so many people? They were not Christian, but they went to applaud Paul VI. Then he went to Fatima in Turkey. It was a Muslim country, in Colombia, in Geneva, in Uganda. He was the Pope of the great journeys. I think we have to have a moment.
Let's imagine the Pope in Manila. You know where it is? It is in the Philippines. At that time, it was people of poor. Many of these people were not Catholic. What did he say in that occasion? So that you can understand what we have to share as Radio Maria. Radio Maria is reaching out to all of the people. Our radio is touching the hearts of our listeners. He said, I will read his quotation, and I still have 5 minutes, but you will be able to understand him. He said, I, Paul, I'm the successor of Peter. I'm in charge of the apostolic mission of the church. I would never have come here in this country, which is far away from Rome, but I did it because I have two strong convictions. The first one, the conviction of Christ. The second one, the salvation of your souls. Christ, yes. I feel the need of announcing Christ. I can't stay silent. That is my task, to announce, proclaim the gospel. I was sent by Jesus Christ to carry out this task. And this is true for the speakers of Radio Maria, for all the priests. I am the apostle. I am a witness. If the country is far away, my mission becomes harder, more difficult. But I moved, I was sent because of the love, and I need to witness Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the one revealing God. He is the true foundation of everything. He is the master of humankind. He is the sole savior. He was born, he died, he is the center of the history. He is the one who truly knows us, loves us. He is the companion of our in our life. He is the friend of our in our life. He is the one who will come and judge us in the future. And we hope in the fullness of eternal life for our existence. He's our happiness, he's the source of our happiness. I would continue to speak about him. He's the light, he's the truth, he's the truth and life, is our bread, is the source of fresh life. He's the pastor, he's our guide, he's our example, he's our comfort, he's our brother. He has been poor, he has been worker, he has been patient for us. He spoke, he made miracles, he founded a new kingdom in which poor are beatified, in which we have peace, in which poor people are guided, are accompanied, where sinners can be forgiven, where all of people are brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ, you heard people talking about him. The majority of you is Christian. The majority of the people were Christians. But the Pope was not silent. He spoke to non-Christians. He spoke about Christ to people who were not Christians. So to Christians, I repeat his name. I announce his name. Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. He's the king of the new kingdom. He's the key to our destiny. He's the mediator. He's the bridge between earth and heaven. He's the Son of man, because he's the Son of eternal God, he's the Son of Mary, the blessed woman, our mother. We participate in the mystery. Remember, Jesus Christ is our guide. He has the voice that we need to spread all around the world. Do remember that and meditate. The Pope came among you and cried, Jesus Christ. I mean, these words are so powerful. They are moving words. This is evangelization. This is true evangelization. And that, as I said before, here we can see what happened after the council. 10 terrible years for him, from 86 until 78. during this period, the Pope fought to have a faith which was integral, because he witnessed the dissolution of the faith because of modernism. He wrote Mysterium Fidei to defend the Catholic faith, to defend the human life. He wrote Humane Vitae, of human life, in 1972, on June the 29th, in the Basilica of St. Peter. He pronounced the credo of, you can find it online, this speech. This is a description of Catholic religion. It is very moving. That occasion, he said that before expressing, that he said that evil was coming into the temple of God. This phrase was historical because people were wondering about this smoke of the evil entering the temple of God. So when the Pope mentioned this, he's referring to a non-Catholic thinking. The French philosopher Jean Guiton, he was a close friend of his. Annually, they had meetings, they were close friends, and the Pope said to him his fears for the Church, and he said that in the Church there was a non-Catholic thinking, non-Catholic, a thinking, a way of thinking which was not Catholic, and he told him that maybe in the future that kind of that mindset was going to spread within the Catholic Church. So this was the way in which Paul VI described the situation. So after that, in 1968, it was the year of faith, and after 50 years, it was reproposed. I don't know if you remember, Pope Benedict wrote an encyclical and then was brought to conclusion by Pope Francis. So we could say that he died in 1978, the date of Transfiguration. André Fossard made a comment. He was a communist converted to Catholic faith. So now I would like to reflect on the attacks, the criticism he received during his 10-year pontificate. When it was the same with John Paul II during his first 10 years of pontificate. He was hardly criticized on internal and external level, but then he managed to overcome the obstacles, the criticism. Pope Benedict XVI, he was hardly criticized, and then he had to let it go, to step down. And Pope Paul VI describes this criticism against the Church from 1968 until the day he died. At the late 1968, it was the most difficult year for him. On December the 7th, he asked the seminarist, "What do you see in the Pope? Signs of contradictions, criticism, the Church now is undergoing a moment of difficulty, and we are criticizing the Church And we can see this idea in the words of the Pope. The Church is destroying itself, is no longer faithful to Christ. Christ is not considered the point of reference. This is what we mean by self-destruction. It's an internal self-destruction that we were not expecting after the Council. After the Council, we were expecting an atmosphere of peace and implementation of what the ideas of the Council. Instead, the Church was criticized by its own members. I was a direct witness of during that years of this crisis. Maybe you were in other countries. In Italy, we witness a dissolution of faith within the Church. In 1969, the Pope said that the Church was suffering. He said the Church is undergoing a period of trial after the Council. Yes, after the Council, the Church is undergoing a period of difficulty.
His sons, the priests, lay people, people that are dedicated to the service of God, they are the ones who are attacking the Church. But these strong criticisms continue to expand, to multiply. In 1972, it was the anniversary of the pontificate, and the Pope was celebrating before 30 cardinals and many faithful people. Nobody would have expected what Paul VI said during the homily. We will repeat it, I already said. Pope said he had the feeling that Satan had entered into the house of the Lord. There was doubt, unease, unsatisfaction. We do no longer trust the Church. We trust whatever profane prophet comes to speak to us through a newspaper, and we ask him if he has the formula of life. And we don't understand that we are already the masters. We are looking for masters among mankind, but we already have Jesus Christ. They said that after the Council, sunlight would be shining again for the Church. But actually, there was a moment of darkness and uncertainty. We predicate communism, and we try to dig holes instead of filling them up. And his explanation was that Satan was dividing the Church. We believe in something supernatural that came to the world to disturb and to stop the Church from breaking into the hymn of joy. So Satan came to destroy the fruit of the Vatican Council. So Pope was asking himself, is the Church superfluous? Is the Church still needed for today's man? This was a provocation. So in today's world, do we still need the Church? Is Christ useless, the Church useless? On the 24th of May, the last meeting with the Italian bishops, he died 2 months later, he said, who amongst you does not feel the growing tide of integration? This is something that is happening today, the negation of religion, not only outside, but inside the Church, negation of the uniqueness of Christianity. Pluralism, equivocal pluralism in the spiritual world is also moral. So he said, first there is indifference, then the criticism, then people are anti-clerical, anti-religious, and then considering Christianity as just another religion like all the others, etc. So you are no longer capable of believing, praying, professing Christ with a strong love and capable of carrying his cross with him. The question he always asked himself was, what do we need the church for today? What is it doing? In 1978, his unease reached its peak. He spoke of the church of our day, that it has lost its reason for being, and it is afraid of total decomposition. The following pontificate of John Paul II re-established this dam that was opened. But the false prophecy is something that is increasing and is trying to take over. Nevertheless, this is the final cherry on the dessert. Paul VI wrote his last encyclical, the Encyclical of Joy. He said, I have abundant joy. This is from Apostle Paul. He had said it from his own lips, and it was his favorite prayer. Nevertheless, I am full of joy. And what he left as a pope is this, confirming the brothers in the Catholic Church, in the Catholic faith. So he was a great apostle, reminding us of the Apostle Paul, a prophet of our times. And going back to what I said yesterday, today, nowadays, the basic problem is faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world. To annunciate him is the task of Radio Maria.
Grazie, Padre Livio.
Thank you, Father Livio. We would like to add something, a crownament to this path that we are walking along on our spiritual path of today. We have also printed the message of Pope Francis. You will find it at the back of the hall. It will be handed out by our volunteers. This is a beautiful speech. In 2015, he left us during the audience he gave us. And it really underlines the main guidelines of Radio Maria. I really invite you on a path we're walking along, because the Pope has invited us to really live into these values. And during the reflections we will have today, with this speech of Pope Francis, we can think about these principle, inspirational principles of Radio Maria that are driving us to spreading the message of Radio Maria in all continents, which have been founded by Radio Maria Italia in 1987, when the World Family was founded. As I said, in 1998, the World Family was the organization, the first association. Radio Maria Italia gave it the mission to bring these principles, this Radio Maria Project, to the world. So this speech by Pope Francis really enters into our principles, and we can reflect, as Father Livio already did, and we have been doing during these days, reflect upon our personal life so that it can reflect these principles in our personal lives as well.